Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 8, attaining the supreme text number 10. Prayana kala manasa chalena. Bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Puruvara madhye pranam avesha samyak. Satam paramam purusham upaiti divyam. Prayana kale. At the time of death. Manasa. By the mind. Achalena. Without its being deviated. Bhaktya. In full devotion. Yukta. Engaged. Yoga balena. By the power of mystic yoga. Cha. Also. Eva. Certainly. Bruvo. The two eyebrows. Madhye. Between. Pranam. The life air. Avesha. Establishing. Samyak. Completely. Saha, he. Tam, that. Param, transcendental. Purusham, personality of Godhead. Upaiti, achieves. Divyam, in the spiritual kingdom. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga with an undeviated mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In this verse, it's clearly stated that at the time of death, the mind must be fixed in devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For those practicing yoga, it is recommended that they raise the life force between the eyebrows to the Agya Chakra. The practice of Shad Chakra Yoga, involving meditation on the six chakras, suggested here. Pure devotee does not practice such yoga. But because he is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, at death he can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his grace. This is explained in the verse 14. The particular use of the word yoga balena is significant in this verse because without practice of yoga, whether Shad Chakra Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, one cannot come to the transcendental state of being at the time of death. One cannot suddenly remember the Supreme Lord at death. One must have practiced some yoga system, especially the system of bhakti yoga. Since one's mind at death is very disturbed, one should practice transcendence through yoga during one's life. Prayana kali manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva purvora madhye pranama vesha samyak sitam paramam purusham upaiti divyam. One who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows and by the strength of yoga with an undeviated mind engages himself remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Shastras it said, Krite tadayato vishnum tretiyam yashito mukai dvarpayam paricharyam kalo tadari kirtana. That in the age of Satyuga, people are able to meditate directly upon Lord Krishna. And in the age of Treta Yuga, they had to perform some sacrifice in order to come to the stage where they can meditate upon Krishna. In the age of Dwarka Yuga, they had to do deity worship, so they developed the mood of sacrifice so they can meditate upon Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, we can't do practically anything. But if we chant Hare Krishna, then gradually we can develop some mood that the holy name is the deity, or also the deity is in the temple. And so we can develop the service attitude, that is, the desire to perform sacrifice, so that we can eventually meditate and trance upon Krishna. Now, in every yuga, chanting is there. And in practice, we can see there are examples of yugas where devotees were meditating on Krishna directly through the Ashtanga Yoga system. For instance, in Dwarpa Yuga, which is not that far away, a mere 5,000 years ago. For us, it's a long time, but actually in terms of eternal time, it's one second in Brahma's life is practically 100,000 years, so it's only a fraction of Brahma's second, is Dwarpa Yuga. There we have Samaka Rishi. He was meditating upon Lord Krishna in trance, and we find that Pariksha Maharaj came and gave him a serpent as a garland because he didn't pay him any attention. He was so much in trance, he didn't even realize what was going on, and then when he got out of his trance, then he saw he was garland with a snake and he just threw the snake away. It wasn't a big thing. Similarly, we find that Dhruva Maharaj in Satyayuga was also engaged in trance. It took him only 6 months to reach that perfection of seeing Vishnu. He was so determined. And then we find Kardama Muni, it took him 50,000 years to come to perfection. So what's the difference between Dhruva Maharaj and Kardama Muni? Why did it take in the same epoch 50,000 years for Kardama Muni to actually seek the super soul within his heart, and it only took Dhruva Maharaj 6 months? What's the difference? One was a little slow. He fell asleep when he was meditating a lot. Well, one of the factors is it's very hard to get the desire to obtain something when everything's so good. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj, he was extremely ambitious to get his goal as soon as possible. To the extent that he went through extreme austerity in order to achieve it. Now, generally speaking, unless you're, even Hiranyakashipu took 120 years of the demigods. And he was quite determined also, because he was so much fixed in what his desire that the insects came and ate his body. So that he was surrounded by an anthill, his body, and it was only bones. He had taken shelter in his life here, took shelter in his bones. They even ate his brains. Because as they said before, if he had any brains, he wouldn't have been standing like that. And as we read today in the Bhagavatam, Indra thought that this Hiranyakashipu, he must be dead by now, you know. Instead of even having a body, he's already buried. His bones are buried in an anthill. So good riddance to the demon. But he didn't realize how determined Hiranyakashipu was that he was able to live in his bones, his life here. So it seems that in this age where we can't do hardly anything, people, even the so-called yogis, they think that if they can put their foot around their neck, they've achieved yoga. After a while, they'll achieve a hospital bill for breaking the leg. But that's their conception. They have no idea that the goal of yoga is to meditate upon the super soul within the heart. One time, probably in Vrindavan, he said, that we're going to practice the real yoga. He told the devotees to put aside one of the rooms in the Gurukuls and to put some kusha grass on the floor of that room and cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth and invite people to come and practice real yoga there. No one came, by the way. And even if they came, what would they do, really? I mean, you sit there, stare at the tip of your nose. Prabhupada said he used to go by the Ganges and see the yogis meditating, doing pranayama, and he observed that the sound of their pranayama was... Because, first of all, this Kali Yuga is so disturbing that our minds are much more difficult to control than in, say, Satya Yuga, where everything is very nice. Because everything is very nice, without a mechanical process, the people won't have that desire to obtain Krishna. If you, just like in the heavenly planets, when you're enjoying too much, the food is so nice, the air is nice, the water is nice, people are nice, everything's nice, why would you want to go get out of there? They say, come back to Godhead. You know, why? This is Godhead. This is so nice here. So generally speaking, people need some impetus. The example is used that one king said that I'll give free room and board to anyone who's lazy. So the minister set up a house and invited all the people in the kingdom to come there and get free room and board, which means food, if they're lazy. So the whole house got filled up. And then the minister told the king, the whole house is filled up, it's getting really crowded. So the king said, oh, just light a fire in the house. So he lit a fire in the house and everyone ran out except for two people. And one of them said, it looks like your back is burning. Maybe you should roll over. And then one said, well, your front is burning, maybe you should roll over. So the minister informed the king that only two people were left in the house and that although they were burning, they wouldn't leave. So the king said, they're actually lazy, give them free room and board. So a lot has to do with our advancement, our desire. As a matter of fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the perfection of yoga, Mayavesha mano yemam nityukto upasade shraya pariyopetas tema yuktat moma mayeva man adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya divashi shashi mameva aturavam nisamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. So that's all we have to do, is fix our mind and intelligence upon Krishna. And then we'll live with him always without a doubt. So try it. See if you can just, for now on, we're just going to think about Krishna and nothing else. That should last for at least 20 seconds. So it's not so easy, Krishna acknowledges, just to stop all our other desires, all our other thoughts, all our other ideas about what's going on, and just see Krishna everywhere and think about Krishna all the time. So then Krishna says that if you can't do that, ata chitam samadhatum nasakshno simayi stiram abhyasena yogena tato mam ichchantun dananjaya. If you can't do that, then follow the principles of bhakti yoga and this way try to obtain the desire to obtain me. In other words, sadhana bhakti. If we don't have that impetus like Dhruva Maharaj had, this intense desire to obtain Krishna as soon as possible, because he was a kshatriya, a real kshatriya, and he was so angry and frustrated, burning with desire. Therefore, that was an impetus for him to see Krishna in 6 months. And as far as we're concerned, we may wait for 60 years or 60 lifetimes to see Krishna. It's a slow process, Prabhu. and it's getting slower all the time. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, Krishna keeps on sending problems. There's a whole ocean of problems because people are so sinful. It's just one problem after another. Kalo doshe ide rajan nyastayeko mahagunan kirtaneyeva krishnasya mukta sangha parambraja. It's not by accident that in Kali Yuga, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can obtain Krishna. Because it's an ocean of faults, it's an ocean of problems, and as the problems increase, and people actually, those who are fortunate, Sumedasa, they can take shelter of Krishna, in spite of the problems that are going on, in order to get relief from the problems. Just like we can see nowadays, we have this coronavirus, and whatever you think its origins are, where we came from, but we can see we're practically powerless. We can, whatever we believe or don't believe, still, if you don't follow, then the powers that be under Krishna's direction, or Maya's direction, depending how you see it, they'll force you to comply. And no one, everyone's thinking that everything's going to go on so nicely, you know. Economies, Wall Street is booming. The birds are singing. Everything is so sweet, you know. Everything's just going to get better and better. And at the end, you know, we'll call for a Vaikuntha airplane and it'll take us back to the spiritual world. Uber, a Vaikuntha airplane. If the regular shuttle's not running, then we'll call for an Uber. But we can see that's not the way it works. Krishna's not going to allow things so smoothly here. He's going to, just like he sends in Vrindavan, just to, it went, Bhuma Vrindavan, Bhumi Vrindavan, just to give us some impetus to remember him. He sends so many demons. Every day a demon comes and breaks up the coward boys playing. Not for us, it's to remind us that there are so many problems in the material world, we have to take shelter of Krishna. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura said, the demons come in order to break up the playing, so the coward boys, oh, Krishna has to stop playing with the coward boys, kill the demon, and then they remember to take lunch. So they can take lunch, Krishna, Maya, Yogamaya sends demons every day. But for us, problems are being sent to us so that we can actually take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, the tendency is complacency. Yes, tomorrow I'll take shelter of Krishna, no problem. Tomorrow I'll chant my rounds with attention. Tomorrow I'll read the books, some book. If there's a book lying around, I'll read it. But Kali Yuga will force us to take seriously because we'll find out there's no other shelter. It's the desire to take shelter. And Satyuga, there's very little impetus to take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, only some sages who are advanced, and after, you know, they take shelter of Krishna through the process of Stanga Yoga. Besides that, there's nothing else to do for them. If you're a sage, there's nothing. There's no distraction. You got to do something. You might as well sit there and meditate on Krishna. It's the only channel that's on in your heart. There's nothing else to do. But in Treta Yuga, when things are get a little bit more disturbing, in the sense that religious principles go down, so in Treta Yuga we have Lord Ramachandra and the sages in the forest. Sometimes the Rakshasas come and eat them. So they have more impetus to take shelter of Lord Ram or Krishna. It's not as secure in Satyuga. And therefore, they perform sacrifices. I mean, they don't expect every day Rakshasa will come and eat them, but especially on the weekends. So they perform sacrifices to fix their minds on Krishna. And in Dwarpa Yuga, we find that they're so disturbing that the whole planet was covered with demons who were dressed as kings. But still, even those kings, generally speaking, the demoniac kings, like Duryodhana, he was the demoniac king, but the kingdoms were going on more or less according to Vedic conceptions. Even a Ravana was expert in the Vedic culture. And therefore, there's not so much disturbance. But in this age, there are no kings. There are no valid kings. There are no sages. There are not even any Vaishyas. There are not even bona fide Shudras. It's just a bunch of animals running around, practically speaking. Therefore, in this age, we're unprotected for the most part, and our only shelter is the holy name. Now, we may not realize that, but just wait around Kali Yuga. The realizations will come one after another. Till finally we'll realize there is no shelter other than the holy name. That everything is more or less the so-called news, the so-called information, education. It's all meant to send people to the darkest regions of existence. It's all being controlled and manipulated, not to elevate people or help people, but to degrade people to the lowest common standard. And therefore the only shelter is the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy name and the association of devotees. Otherwise, one was certainly going to be misled, and that being misled means that one's life will become more and more degraded, inauspicious, in the name of so-called material advancement. So gradually we'll realize that by the mercy of the holy name, by the mercy of Kali Yuga, that the only shelter is Srimad Bhagavatam, the holy name, and the association of devotees. Other than that, we're shelterless. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
You mentioned that in previous ages there were so good that they didn't have any motivation to do this. So they have mechanical process of so-called yoga dharma. Is chanting of the holy name can also be practiced mechanically then? Or what's the benefit? Or I mean, what's also the benefit of others' paths, processes, practicing mechanically?
Well, practicing mechanically at least is practicing. Rather than, if you're practicing chanting, for instance, rather than practicing tennis mechanically, at least you're practicing something spiritual mechanically. And one day, if you're properly directed in your life and the circumstances in your life change, then one day you may become inspired to do it more than mechanically. One can do it mechanically for some time, but then after some time one will be tested and will have a choice, either take it seriously or don't take it at all. It's rare that anyone can go on decade after decade just doing something mechanically. It's possible, but it's not very likely. Then sometime or another one will have to make a choice. Either practice sincerely or don't practice. We can, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? I always forget that first word. Itaiva. One restrains the senses, organs of action, but his mind dwells on sense object. Karmendriyani samyamya ya yukta sitamatra vishehi esyendriyani tasya pragya patishtita. Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartam vimudatma mityatra suuchite. One who restrains the senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells in sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. On the other hand, yastu indriyani manasa, yaste manasa smaran, yastu indriyani manasa niyamyavara vitarjana, karmendriyai karmiso yogam, asakta savishishite. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control his active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So for some time, we can practice mechanically, but then after some time, we'll realize we have to make a choice. Either I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, let my wander my mind wander all over the universe, or I'm going to chant Hare Krishna and actually try to chant Hare Krishna and do it properly. If we do it, we just try and make a little effort in that direction, then Krishna will assist us. So, and we'll learn that there's some better process than mechanically doing it. We should also put some heart into it. We should put some desire into it, some attention into it. I mean, we can't do much, just we can pay attention. And that's enough to make us, help us make some progress to doing it a little bit more out of voluntarily than just out of mechanically. Some desire, some effort. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question regarding to tomorrow's day. It's all auspicious Radhashtami. And I'm wondering what is the proper mood, meditation or attitude to get some spiritual progress on such auspicious days.
Chant Hare Krishna with attention. That's how we worship Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, chant Hare Krishna. Serve Radha and Krishna in the holy names. That's where they'll be most pleased.
Maharaj, you were mentioning Karnava Muni needing
10,000 years, actually. It was only 10,000. Oh. It was Vishvamrita. Yeah, he did it in 10,000 years. Vishvamrita did it, he became a Brahmin in 180,000 years. He got second initiation.
So after all, having emotions in lower modes of nature can offer better impetus for attaining...
Lower modes of nature? Why lower modes of nature?
I mean emotions, lower modes, like you were mentioning even Hiranyakashipu and his determination.
Well, he didn't achieve Krishna. I mean, he did achieve something. Krishna gave him an operation. But as far as his meditation, he didn't really achieve Krishna. He got Brahma's association. He got the demigod's association. But he was determined. I just use it as an example of determination, not getting Krishna's association. By determination, you can achieve something, but better to become a little determined to become Krishna conscious.
What about another one who was angry and wanting kingdom greater than his...
Yes, but because he had got a spiritual master like Narada Muni and followed his direction, therefore he achieved his desire. But Narada Muni tricked him into achieving Krishna also. He knew he had to get it from Krishna. So he was greatly determined to meet Krishna. Just like the example is given, there was one thief, he was in a lecture, and he heard that in Vrindavan there's this boy, and he's called Krishna, and he's just covered with jewels. So the thief was determined, I'm going to find this boy and steal all his jewels. So he specifically went to Vrindavan. He was very anxious to meet Krishna so he could steal his jewels. So he was so anxious that Krishna appeared before him and he was covered with jewels. So the thief said, give me your jewels. And Krishna said, no, I can't because Mother Yashoda will be angry. So the big argument ensued. And so finally the thief fell in love with Krishna. And then Krishna said, all right, take my jewels. And the thief said, no, I don't want your jewels anymore. I just want to serve you. So that desire to obtain Krishna is very valuable. Yes.
For example, what about if we are associating with devotees in Sattvagun, holding hands and everything is nice, or it's better to be frustrated and angry in ISKCON?
Well, it's not frustrated and angry that makes you advance. It's taking shelter of Krishna that makes you advance. Just like in Vrindavan, even in the spiritual world, there are no demons, but there are rumors of demons. And because there are rumors of demons, people take shelter of Krishna even more. And here in Vrindavan, Boma Vrindavan, there are real demons who come and attack Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan, that serves an impetus for the residents to take more shelter of Krishna. Krishna has to lift Govardhan Hill to protect his inhabitants. So they become more attached to Krishna because of that.
I read that Kamsa took companionship with all these demons.
He conquered them, actually. He went around the universe, as it says in the third canto, and he conquered all these demons. And then he brought them here, and they became his ministers.
But was he the king, or was Jarasandha the king, and he was just like the minister?
No, he was the king. Jarasandha was under Kamsa. Well, at least he said it was his friend. I guess their relation was more friendly. They were like allies. Yeah, they were partners in crime.
They also said that the question is, these demons represent someone else.
Well, I don't think they... Where can you find out about it? It's Bhaktivinoda Thakura's... What's the name of the book? Shiksha. Krishna Samhita, sir. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.